November 14th. Our reading in the Old Testament today is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 29, verse 1, through chapter 30, verse 26. Now, these chapters focus on Egypt, the nation that the Jews trusted instead of trusting the Lord. Ezekiel detailed four illustrations of the coming judgment of Egypt. We'll cover two of them today and two of them next time we're together. The first one, the capturing of a monster. The king of Egypt thought he was a great monster guarding his royal river, but God said he was only a weak reed in the river. God would capture the monster and show Pharaoh that he owned the Nile River, God owned it, that is, and could do with it what he pleased. The Babylonians would come and plunder Egypt, and Pharaoh would not be able to stop them. And then we'll read about the breaking of arms. God would break Pharaoh's arm and not allow it to heal, but he would strengthen Nebuchadnezzar's arms and give him victory over Egypt and her many allies. No more would God's people turn to Egypt for help. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. November 14th, Ezekiel 29, verse 1, through chapter 30, verse 26. On January 7th, during the 10th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me, Ezekiel, from the Lord. Son of man, turn toward Egypt and prophesy against Pharaoh the king and all the people of Egypt. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You great monster, lurking in the streams of the Nile. For you have said, the Nile River is mine. I made it for myself. I will put hooks in your jaws and drag you out on the land with fish sticking to your scales. I will leave you and all your fish stranded in the desert to die. You will lie unburied on the open ground, for I have given you as food to the wild animals and birds. All the people of Egypt will discover that I am the Lord, for you collapsed like a reed when Israel looked to you for help. Israel leaned on you, but like a cracked staff, you splintered and stabbed her in the armpit. When she put her weight on you, you gave way, and her back was thrown out of joint. So now the sovereign Lord says, I will bring an army against you, O Egypt, and destroy both people and animals. The land of Egypt will become a desolate wasteland, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Because you said, the Nile River is mine, I made it. I am now the enemy of both you and your river. I will utterly destroy the land of Egypt from Migdol to Aswan, as far south as the border of Ethiopia. For 40 years, not a soul will pass that way, neither people nor animals. It will be completely uninhabited. I will make Egypt desolate, and it will be surrounded by other desolate nations. Its cities will be empty and desolate for 40 years, surrounded by other desolate cities. I will scatter the Egyptians to distant lands. But the sovereign Lord also says, at the end of the 40 years, I will bring the Egyptians home again from the nations to which they have been scattered. I will restore the prosperity of Egypt and bring its people back to the land of Pathros in southern Egypt from which they came. But Egypt will remain an unimportant minor kingdom. It will be the lowliest of all the nations, never again great enough to rise above its neighbors. Then Israel will no longer be tempted to trust in Egypt for help. Egypt's shattered condition will remind Israel of how sinful she was to trust Egypt in earlier days. Then Israel will know that I alone am the sovereign Lord. On April 26th, during the 27th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, the army of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon fought so hard against Tyre that the warriors' heads were rubbed bare and their shoulders were raw and blistered. Yet Nebuchadnezzar and his army won no plunder to compensate them for all their work. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will carry off their wealth, plundering everything they have to pay his army. Yes, I have given him the land of Egypt as a reward for his work, says the sovereign Lord, because he was working for me when he destroyed Tyre. And the day will come when I will cause the ancient glory of Israel to revive, and then at last your words will be respected. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is another message that came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy and give this message from the sovereign Lord. Weep, for the terrible day is almost here. The day of the Lord. It is a day of clouds and gloom, a day of despair for the nations. A sword will come against Egypt, and those who are slaughtered will cover the ground. Their wealth will be carried away, and their foundations destroyed. The land of Ethiopia will be ravished. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, and Arabia, with all their other allies, will be destroyed in that war. For this is what the Lord says. All of Egypt's allies will fall, and the pride of their power will end. From Migdol to Aswan, they will be slaughtered by the sword, says the sovereign Lord. Egypt will be desolate, surrounded by desolate nations, and its cities will be in ruins, surrounded by other ruined cities. And the people of Egypt will know that I am the Lord when I have set Egypt on fire and destroyed all her allies. At that time, I will send swift messengers and ships to terrify the complacent Ethiopians. Great panic will come upon them on that day of Egypt's certain destruction. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Through King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, I will destroy the hordes of Egypt. He and his armies, ruthless among the nations, have been sent to demolish the land. They will make war against Egypt until slaughtered Egyptians cover the ground. I will dry up the Nile River and hand the land over to wicked men. I will destroy the land of Egypt and everything in it, using foreigners to do it. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will smash the idols of Egypt and the images at Memphis. There will be no rulers left in Egypt. Anarchy will prevail throughout the land. I will destroy Pathros, Zoan, and Thebes, and they will lie in ruins, burned up by my anger. I will pour out my fury on Pelusium, the strongest fortress of Egypt, and I will stamp out the people of Thebes. Yes, I will set fire to all Egypt. Pelusium will be racked with pain. Thebes will be torn apart. Memphis will live in constant terror. The young men of Heliopolis and Bubastis will die in battle, and the women will be taken away as slaves. When I come to break the proud strength of Egypt, it will be a dark day for Tapenhez too. A dark cloud will cover Tapenhez, and its daughters will be led away as captives. And so I will greatly punish Egypt, and they will know that I am the Lord. On April 29th, during the 11th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. His arm has not been put in a cast so that it may heal. Neither has it been bound up with a splint to make it strong enough to hold a sword. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am the enemy of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I will break both of his arms, the good arm along with the broken one, and I will make his sword clatter to the ground. I will scatter the Egyptians to many lands throughout the world. I will strengthen the arms of Babylon's king and put my sword in his hand. But I will break the arms of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he will lie there mortally wounded, groaning in pain. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, while the arms of Pharaoh fall useless to his sides. And when I put my sword in the hand of Babylon's king, and he brings it against the land of Egypt, Egypt will know that I am the Lord. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. November 14th. And now as we turn our attention to the New Testament, our reading today will be out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. We'll go through chapter 12, verse 13. We'll read about runners. The people listed in chapter 11 are the cloud that witnesses to us. God can be trusted. That's what these witnesses are saying to us. Put your faith in His Word and keep running the race. Don't give up. Don't stop. When you read the Old Testament, your faith should grow. Well, the account shows what God did in and through people who dared to trust His promises. When you read the Gospels, you see the greatest example of endurance in Jesus Christ. It was the great Tertullian who said, "You can judge the quality of their faith from the way they behave. Discipline is an index to doctrine." And we'll read about children. Chastening refers to child training, helping the child prepare for adulthood. It does not necessarily mean punishment for disobedience, no, although that sometimes might be included. The successful runner must exercise discipline and submit to training. Never fear the chastening hand of the Lord. It's controlled by a loving heart. God's goal is your maturity. And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. November 14th, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through chapter 12, verse 13. Well, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind for us that would also benefit them, for they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy He knew would be His afterward. Now He is seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all He endured when sinful people did such terrible things to Him, so that you don't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you entirely forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, His children? He said, "My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes those He accepts as His children." As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Who ever heard of a child who was never disciplined? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children after all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So, take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 10. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, says verse 1. And verses 7 and 8 declare, he will not be afraid. When you fear the Lord, you need not fear anything else. The fear of God is the fear that conquers fear. Now this applies to fears about your family and your finances and even the fear of the dark. If you dread making decisions, well, the Lord will help you. He is your helper in times of trouble and fear. When you fear the Lord, you need not fear bad news, because you know He is in control of all things. And you need not be afraid to give, because God will use your gift and reward you. And don't be alarmed at your enemies. God will take care of them as well. Isaiah proclaimed, "The Lord of hosts, let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." That's in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 10. Praise the Lord! Happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what He commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. All goes well for those who are generous, who lend freely, and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil circumstances. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will be infuriated when they see this. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend.